I was literally dancing in my seat when the 8-year-old pianist played Haydn on this week's show. His performance is perfectly carefree and crystal clear. And you heard me right, 8 years old. You'll hear him in the middle of this totally fantastic show that also includes an exciting percussion quartet. Have fun with the podcast.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, one of America's finest concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you, and welcome to the program. Today, we're at Lisner Auditorium at George Washington University in Washington, D.C., and we want to thank Washington Performing Arts and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation for bringing us to town. Washington Performing Arts received the National Medal of the Arts from President Obama last year for its support of the performing arts from concert halls to schools in the nation's capital. You'll hear one of their youth ensembles later on. And the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, well, you hear about them each week on this show as we present Jack Kent Cook Young Artists, extremely talented musicians who have financial need. Finding these kids and presenting them with a Jack Kent Cook Foundation scholarship is one of the most important things we do, and it's become a hallmark of our work to help foster the future of classical music. For many of these kids, getting one of these scholarships can be a game changer. They use the money for a much-needed new instrument, for lessons, for attendance at a summer music camp, or for travel to competitions. Studying classical music is expensive, and a Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award can make a critical difference. So today, in celebration of our 10-year partnership with the Foundation, all of our young soloists will be Jack Kent Cook Young Artists, like the outstanding 15-year-old violinist up first. From Bend, Oregon, please welcome Kiara Saito Beckman. Kiara, you brought a violin favorite to start us out. Tell everyone what it is.
We will be performing Carmen Fantasy by Franz Waxman.
Thank you.
Kiara Saito-Beckman, 15 years old, our violinist from Bend, Oregon, performing The Carmen Fantasy by Franz Waxman. Kiara is a student of Catherine Luckenberg and Jan-Mark Sloman. Kiara, I think it's safe to say that's a pretty good opener for a show. My gosh, how do we follow that? Good night, everybody. Kiara, I want to give a shout-out to the Summer Music School where we first heard you, Meadowmount, in upstate New York. So many of the string players we've had on the show, Jack Kent Cook, young artists or not, have studied there. What's your experience been like there at Meadowmount?
Well, Meadowmount has just been absolutely terrific. I have been studying there for the past four summers, and I'm always inspired by all of the dedicated and talented, wonderful musicians that I meet every year.
And you come from a place that's completely across the country from Meadowmount, Bend, Oregon, but it's also a great outdoorsy place. Do you get out with friends and enjoy that out there in Oregon?
I definitely do, yes. When I'm not busy practicing my violin, I like to go hiking and kayaking and just, you know, experience the wonderful outdoors that is Central Oregon.
And so you do some biking. There's something called cyclocross biking. That's something that people do in the high desert out there in Oregon.
Yes, that is a very popular sport in mm-hmm. Bend.
So it's like sort of a hybrid between, you know, the road bikes and the trail bikes. Actually, I speaking of biking, tell everybody what your dad does.
My dad is actually a custom bicycle builder.
Wow. And he loves classical music, I hear.
Yes, very much.
So does he want to make me a bike? I don't have much money, but wow, my gosh, we're just marveling at that, all of our bike enthusiasts on the show. That's not all he's built around your house. Tell everybody what I'm talking about.
My dad can definitely get pretty crafty around the house. He really is a jack of all trades. When I was about 10 years old, I had this idea. I have some cats, and I really love them, and I wanted to be able to see them during the day without having to bring them in. So I have a second story bedroom, and I begged my dad. I just kept asking him to try to come up with something where I could have the cats in my room during the day, and they could just come up to my room. And being that it is a second story bedroom, it was a little bit difficult, but my dad managed to do it. He built a cat ladder leading up to my bedroom from the ground floor, and to this day, my cat still uses it, so yeah.
That's great. A girl after my own heart, cat enthusiast. But I imagine it must be disconcerting for your friends who are over to play, and all of a sudden they see this cat looming out your bedroom window.
It's definitely a little strange for them, I've been told.
And your dad is the only guy in a very multicultural family, yes?
Yes. I am adopted from Vietnam, and I have an older sister who's 20, and she is from Korea. And my mother is Japanese.
Very good. And your dad is from where?
My dad's from Wisconsin, and he's just a huge cheesehead, so.
All right.
Yeah.
Go Packers. And gosh, Kiara, it was just wonderful having the program opening with you. Just beautiful playing. Love that, Carmen.
Thank you so much.
Kiara Saito Beckman, 15 years old, our violinist from Bend, Oregon.
Our weekly podcasts feature bonus content just for our subscribers. Go to fromthetop.org. Over the last 8 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Standing on stage with me now is an outstanding 17-year-old flutist from Brooklyn named Taiga Ultan. She and I will play Philippe Gobert's Fantasy for flute and piano.
Thank you.
Taiga Uletan, 17-year-old flutist from Brooklyn, studying at the Interlaken Arts Academy, playing Philippe Gobert's Fantasy for Flute and Piano. Well, I love Gobert's flute music, and we've never had that piece on the program before. I've played the sonatas and things like that, but that's and such a fantasy, so narrative and so storytelling. Beautifully done. Thank you, Taiga. You have a wonderful story about your first lesson with Adam Kunzel, the principal flute with the Minnesota Orchestra.
Yeah, so when I was about 11 or 12 years old, I got my first lesson with him, and I was going over with my mom, and he lives on the top of this really high hill, so you have to climb all of these really steep steps to get to it.
So there's some breath control right there.
There is some breath control right there. And so we climbed all the way to the top, and I finally got in there with him, and I introduced myself, and then he, he didn't say anything. I decided to just announce that I wanted to know when the auditions were for the Minnesota Orchestra, because I truly thought that as a 12-year-old I could get a spot and kick him out of his spot.
Wow, and, way to make points with your new teacher.
Yeah, nice. Great. And yeah, so that was my proposition to him.
So you studied with him for 3 years, but then your family left Minnesota. As a matter of fact, you've lived in more places than literally anyone I know. How many times have you moved in your short life?
Yeah, so recently my sister and I counted, and the last time that we moved would have been the 29th time that we've moved, and I've never lived in one place for more than 3 years, so it's kind of been hard.
That's really the wandering lifestyle. Why all that moving around?
Well, when I was younger, my mom was, she still is a musician, but at that time, we had to travel a lot because of the different gigs that she was getting, and then it was also for other reasons as well, but yeah,
the definition of an itinerant musician. You just go where the work is.
Yep.
Oh, gosh, you're such a trooper. Moving around so much, was that tough on you as a kid?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things was we never really were able to establish friends and stuff because we were always moving so much. And, we lived out of our car a lot, too, so that was pretty hard.
Wow, very hard. But you've said that through it all. I love this philosophy. You've come to understand what the true meaning of home is. Tell everybody what you think.
Well, I learned that through not really having a lot. Home wasn't necessarily a place that, like, we all think that it has to be one place where we live in for a really long time and become really comfortable with. But instead, we learned that it was more things that made up a home. So, like, music was one of the main things that really brought me together with people. And I learned that it was more about the feeling that you were able to create with the people that loved you. And that feeling of comfort was, you know, home, and that's kind of wherever. It's not necessarily one solid place.
Well, gosh, with a performance like that, Taiga, welcome home. Obviously. Thank you, Taiga. Taiga Uletan, 17 years old, our flutist from Brooklyn, New York, studying at the Interlaken Arts Academy. Our next musician is not only the youngest performer on today's show, at the age of 8, he's one of the youngest performers we've ever had on any of our shows. Please welcome, from just over the river in Alexandria, Virginia, Oscar Paz Swaznabar. Welcome, Oscar. What are you going to play for us?
The Haydn Sonata in G major, the third movement.
Excellent. The stage is yours.
Thank you.
Oscar Paz Swaznavar, age 8, from Alexandria, Virginia, here in the D.C. area, playing the Prestissimo from the Haydn Sonata No. 52 in G. Oscar, I hope I wasn't distracting you. I'm in your sight line, and I couldn't help. I was like a bobble-headed doll over here, like grooving to your infectious rhythm. It was okay? You're
yeah,
good?
Yeah, I didn't notice.
Great, excellent. I couldn't help it. It was great. Oscar, on From the Top, we have our ways of getting to know the mind of an 8-year-old. We have a rapid-fire quiz we like to call the third degree. Joanne's going to ask you some questions, and you have to answer them as quickly as possible. Are you ready? On the radio, no one can hear you nod.
Okay.
Egg foo young or Silpancho?
Silpancho.
Chemistry or physics?
Chemistry.
Comic books or Xbox?
Comic books.
Inspector Gadget or Sherlock Holmes?
Sherlock Holmes.
Being a normal kid or practicing really, really hard?
Both.
That's some rapid fire stuff, but not so fast as to escape a little further interrogation. We need to understand a little bit more about your answers. You chose Silpancho over egg foo young. What the heck is Silpancho, and why do you eat it?
Well, Silpancho is like a Bolivian dish that, because my mom's and my family's Bolivian, and I really like the dish, and I eat it every time, almost every time that I go out.
What's it made from?
It's meat, eggs, not scrambled, rice, and veggies, sometimes even hot sauce.
Sounds great. And then you chose chemistry. What do you like about chemistry?
Well, chemistry I just figured out because it sounds really fun, but I just chose it over.
Yeah. I understand you've started to memorize a couple of the names of the elements. You want to name some of your favorites?
Okay, I have, I don't know, but hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, oxygen, and uranium.
Nice. Beryllium, that's an obscure one. Good for you, Oscar. And you're a Sherlock Holmes guy instead of Inspector Gadget. I was told he has inspired you to do some writing yourself. Are you writing a mystery?
Yeah, my friend Jack and I read the Sherlock Holmes series, and we really thought that we could make a book of our own, so we started making a book. It's like Sherlock Holmes, the detective, but not Sherlock Holmes. And he's in Las Vegas. So.
He's in Vegas. So that sounds interesting. So what does he do in Vegas besides solving crimes?
Plays poker.
Nice. What's your favorite game in Vegas, young man?
Texas Hold'em.
Oh, really? I think I've seen you on those sports channels with the dark glasses. Yeah, very good. There's a story behind your answer to the final question Joanne asked about being normal or practicing a ton, and it involves your pesky older sisters, doesn't it?
Yeah, my sisters think I'm boring because I practice a lot. I don't do, like, sports, football, soccer, lacrosse, but I have to take care of my fingers,
yeah.
So I have to practice. But
yes.
Both of them are similar because being a normal kid is working hard, mm-hmm. So if you don't do anything, you're...
Yeah, being a normal and incredibly active and motivated kid. I think that sounds pretty normal to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Oscar, you're just such a great role model. I'm going to grow up to be just like you someday. Thank you, Oscar, for being with us.
Thank you.
Brilliant playing. Oscar Paz Swaznabar, 8-year-old pianist from Alexandria, Virginia.
Eight-year-old Oscar is quite a character, and he's such a delight to watch perform. Go to our website, fromthetop.org, to catch video of him and all of the performers on today's show. That's fromthetop.org.
Support for From the Top comes from this and other radio stations, and from U.S. Trust, who believes that the arts play a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians, as well as NPR listeners. From New England Conservatory of Music, where young artists and teachers are committed to transforming classical music, online at necmusic.edu. And from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, whose mission is to advance the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from Lisner Auditorium at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Coming up, one of Washington's finest youth gospel choirs joins us for a rousing finale. Today's show is presented by Washington Performing Arts and is made possible with generous support from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation. The performance by Washington Performing Arts Children of the Gospel Choir is made possible by the generous support of Jacqueline Badger Mars and Mars Incorporated. Special thanks this week to Classical WETA. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. This week, all of our soloists are Jack Kent Cook Young Artists as we celebrate 10 years of scholarships given to gifted young musicians who have financial need. You've already met three new Jack Kent Cook Young Artists, but now we want to feature an alum, one of our favorite Jack Kent Cook kids from the past. She was fantastic at 16 when she first appeared on our program, and now at the age of 21, she's even more phenomenal. This is Marcelina Suchocka performing Gary Burton's version of No More Blues by Antonio Carlos Jobim. Marcelina Suchocka from New York City performing Gary Burton's version of Antonio Carlos Jobim's No More Blues. Really fantastic, Marcelina. Just fantastic to see you and hear you play. Just great music. Percussionists don't just need one instrument to practice on. They need like 20 or more like 200. And I'm not counting timpani or things like break drums or something like that. That's where the Jack Kent Cook Scholarship came in quite handy. Tell everyone how you used the scholarship.
Yeah, as a percussionist, you need quite a bit of, you know, just instruments. So with the Jack Kent Cook Scholarship, I got like 3 snare drums, 3 tambourines, 4 triangles, some cymbals, cases for the cymbals, cases for the triangles, cases for the snare drums, maybe 100 like pairs of mallets, a xylophone. Yeah, I could go on forever. But the thing is like when you go to colleges, you really do need all those things because, you know, like when you're playing in orchestra, you need different kind of timbres. That's why you need like 3 different snare drums because you need a big one if you're playing something, you know. Mm-hmm. It really makes a difference.
And did you buy, were they all new instruments, or you like the older, more seasoned instruments, yeah?
Right. I think, in my opinion, percussion instruments kind of age well. They sound better as they get older. And so the instruments that I got with the scholarship, I feel like, you know, they've been with me for some time, and they're like my babies. Mm. And yeah, I think they just sound better and better.
Well, you sound better and better yourself. You were on our show several times as a teenage percussionist. Fill us in on what you're doing now that you're an adult. You're going where to school now, Lisa?
I'm going to the Manhattan School of Music, and my teachers are Christopher Lamb of the New York Philharmonic and Duncan Patton of the Metropolitan Opera and Shi'iwu. And Chris Lamb, he's just an amazing percussionist. He's probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, living concert percussionist out there. Just being in the same room with him in a lesson is just such an honor. And yeah, he even won a Grammy for a percussion concerto. It's just insane. So I really have it good. I really do.
Yeah, you do. And I guess you've got some pretty high professional aspirations yourself, yes?
Yeah, just having, you know, the best mentors. I kind of look up to what they're doing, and maybe one day I would like to audition for the New World Symphony, which is in Florida. And it's like a symphony, it's like a, what is it called, a training orchestra?
A training orchestra.
And then maybe ultimately an orchestra of, yeah, that'd be great.
I think that's in the stars for you, absolutely. Thanks. There's another possibility for your future, either in addition to an orchestra job or maybe instead of one. Tell everybody what I'm talking about.
Excelsis, my quartet.
So, well, we've brought the other 3 members of Excelsis down from New York because we want to hear this fantastic ensemble. But Marcelina, before we hear your quartet play, let's meet everyone.
I am Mariana Ramirez. I am a freelance percussionist in New York City. I am starting playing in Broadway galas and with orchestras, such as the National Symphony in Mexico City, among other ensembles. A couple months ago, I started thinking in the idea of making a new percussion ensemble that has something different because there's so many ensembles out there. And I had the idea of making, like having 4 female percussionists. So I ended up emailing all the women percussionists I know.
So I answered that email. I'm Clara Warnar. I am a New York-based percussionist and teacher. I'm originally from Los Angeles. Now I play with a variety of different ensembles and orchestras in the New York area, including the Hudson Valley Philharmonic, and I work with a teaching artist organization, the Learning Arts. So when I got the email from Mariana and was invited to rehearse for the first time together, we had so much fun. I mean, it was 3 girls that I just felt completely comfortable with, that we could talk about anything. We loved playing together. It was a really great situation. So we were preparing for the New York Weekend of Percussion. That was our first sort of performance. And one of the things that we all bonded over was the fact that we all grew up with a similar experience of having an experience of bias against women percussionists. And we felt that that was something that we wanted to address and that we, as an ensemble, wanted to change.
This is Marcelina, and I think Clara is so right. Just growing up, when I was selecting my instrument, everybody, even up to today, like, is always so confused that I play percussion. They ask me, like, oh, is it, you know, hard to carry, or is it hard to play, because, you know, you're built so small. And And it's kind of surprising it still happens today because, you know, you would think times have changed, but no, like I still get asked that stuff. And I think it's a little sad, and I just want the focus to be put on the fact that I play this instrument and I play in the ensemble and we all play the instrument, I think, well. And I think the focus would be on that rather than keep asking us, you know, why are you guys playing drums? It's so weird. So with the Excelsis Percussion Ensemble, we really want to show the world that we can play just as well and rock out on the drums like anybody else.
That's right. I'm Aya Kaminaguchi. I'm a percussionist for the Hudson Valley Philharmonic, and I'm also a mother of 1-year-old boy, and he's already hitting all these pans and blocks and stones and everything in the house. Anyway, I'm really excited that we've commissioned new pieces for our group through Valkovich Publications. We'll be premiering those new works at our concert on December 2nd at the Players Theater in New York.
Now we want to show you how we put it all together. The piece we're about to play really shows off our percussion ensemble playing, how we play together, and contrasts and texture and melodic playing. So this is the prelude and chorus from Threads by Paul Lansky.
Thank you.
Excelsis, a percussion ensemble with our Jack Kent Cook featured alum, Marcelina Suchocka, performing two sections of Threads by Paul Lansky.
Check out the video portrait we have of Marcelina online. We also have nice footage of Excelsis performing. That's at fromthetop.org.
To close our program, we're going to hear an extraordinary young Washington area youth choir called the Children of the Gospel Choir. Their music director is Michelle Fowlin, and they're a part of the many outreach activities of Washington Performing Arts, our presenter today. This crew has sung in some pretty lofty places. So two members of the choir, Charles Sterling and William Carr, both 16 years old, are with me at the mics to talk about that. Charles, what would you say was your most memorable performing experience with the choir?
Well, it would definitely have to be when we sung at the National Cathedral for the inaugural prayer service. And I'm there, right, and it's like my second performance, and there's all these important people there, and I'm just looking out into the crowd, and then I see the president in the front row, and I'm trying to sing. And I'm also trying to look at Ms. Fallon, but you got to look at the president because he's there. And I'm like trying to multitask between those two, but that was very exciting.
Very divided attention, definitely. William, how about you?
Really, one of the favorite moments was that as well.
Yeah.
One of the things I really liked about it was that people from different places that also had different religions and different aspects on life came together to support one another for one thing.
World leaders from all over the globe.
Yes,
gosh,
sir.
Very heady stuff. But singing for famous people isn't really why you guys do this. William, what do you love most about singing in a choir?
Well, I do believe that I love the fact that you're, like, for me, the spiritual side, the spiritual aspect and the social aspect is good as well. And that you get to learn that, like, music is power as much as knowledge is.
Very, very eloquently said. Charles, how about you?
Well, for me, it's like, it's seeing people smile. Because smiles are just so beautiful that you love to, like, look into the audience when you're singing, see that everyone's smiling, that you're doing your job, and that you're reaching people with the message that you're singing.
Well, it certainly comes across. The tune you're about to sing is going to make everybody smile big time. Gosh, I'm so looking forward to this. But before you perform it, I want to take a moment to mention your accompanist for the day. Throughout the show, we've been celebrating the over $2 million in scholarships that the Jack Kent Cook Foundation has graciously asked us to give to young classical musicians with financial need. Well, the young man who's about to accompany the Children of the Gospel Choir is another superb past recipient of a Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. His name is Clifton Williams, and he's now out in the world making waves in Los Angeles. Clifton, what are you up to in Southern California?
In L.A., I am working as a musician, music producer, and songwriter.
Gosh, and I've heard you play Gershwin and Prokofiev, and now we're going to hear this wonderful gospel piece. Would you do the honors in introducing the work?
Yes. We are performing Praise You the Lord by Scott Cumberbatch.
An uplifting way to end our show, to say the least. I want to thank all of our great young performers, and thank you for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Children of the Gospel Choir, under the direction of Michelle Fowlin, with Clifton Williams at the piano. Please, take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vegli and Tim Banker, with music director Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with Dan Hallis and John Serbies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent, nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. From the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries. On the web at lemelson.org. From the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. And from Joyce V. Hale, in the interest of engaging an informed and civil electorate. This is NPR.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org.